You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome back. I am your host, Christina Long, not the usual Matt Jones. He will be back on Friday. I'm here with you today, Wednesday, and then Thursday as well. We have a show full of men's basketball today, with Arkansas getting ready to host Georgia tonight at 8 p.m. We're going to talk about Boogie Flan's absence and him being out for the season with Ethan Westerman here in the studio a little bit later, maybe throw in a little bit of baseball talk. We had an exciting day yesterday getting some stuff ready for our baseball preview issue of Hogs Illustrated magazine. So we'll talk a little bit of baseball news. But first, we've got Jordan Hill joining us, covering Georgia for Dogs 24/7. Jordan, thanks so much for coming on and being willing to talk a little bit of Georgia basketball with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate y'all having me on.
So first of all, just kind of overview about Georgia. I mean, their success this season and how Mike White's gotten this program to where it is. Is there any surprise with how they've done this season, especially with the SEC the way that it is?
You know, I've been impressed, and we've talked about this with some folks probably in the last couple of weeks, that we probably should have bought into what Mike White was saying in the preseason. There were multiple times where he said, we're going to be good. I mean, he was very adamant going into his third year that this team could take a step forward, and they've done a great job. 14-4 overall, 2-3 right now in SEC play, with ranked wins over Kentucky and Oklahoma, and then going back to non-con, beating St. John's. This is a team that has been built defense first. They've done an outstanding job. I believe they're second in the SEC right now in points allowed per game. The shooting kind of comes and goes, which I'm sure we'll probably talk a little bit about when it comes to this matchup with Arkansas, but they had high hopes to take a step forward with what they added in the portal, signing Asa Newell, the five-star, who's one of the top-rated recruits Georgia's ever signed. There were high hopes, and to this point, they've delivered. Now they've kind of hit a rough patch in the last week, losing back-to-back games, but both of those games against top 10 opponents. So I see this Arkansas matchup as really important for Georgia, because you really don't want that streak to stretch to three, especially with a trip to Florida waiting on them on Saturday.
It seems like, you know, there's a pretty high level of excitement about Georgia men's basketball right now, and compared to most years. I always wonder, I covered Clemson for a season, and I always wonder with schools that are at the top level of football fandom, how much does a Georgia fan base get invested in a good Georgia men's basketball team? Because when I covered Clemson, it seemed like people would get really mad when they underperformed, but then when they did really well, it was, the excitement was maybe a little more muted. Not that they didn't care, but it's never going to be the same as football, right? But I'm just curious from the Georgia perspective, how much people get behind a good Georgia team.
I think they've been waiting on it, Christina. I think it's something that they have hoped. The point I always make is, you know, the great thing about basketball season is the majority of it happens after football. So it's not like you just, you know, if you're a fan, you have to dedicate all that time to football. You've kind of got non-con where football's still going on, but the point I've made when we've talked about the Georgia program just as a whole, I've always thought it's kind of a field of dreams thing. It's if you build it, they will come. And to the credit of the fans and especially the students this season, and particularly in SEC play, I mean, they've packed Stegman Coliseum. They've brought an energy. I thought it was palpable in the Kentucky game, in the Oklahoma game, even the Auburn game that they lost last week. Fans are hungry for Georgia basketball to be relevant. I mean, I graduated from Georgia in 2016, and in my lifetime, there's been maybe one or two years where they really mattered. I mean, where they were something more than an afterthought in the SEC. Now, they've still got a long way to go and still have to accomplish quite a bit to make the NCAA tournament because of how competitive this SEC is. But you know, I think fans are hungry for a winner. They'll support a winner when it comes to Georgia basketball, but the results have to be there. And to this point, this team has risen to the challenge, and I think the fans have done a very good job of showing up and supporting them.
You mentioned Asa Newell, and just how has his progression been, and what has made him, you know, a potential freshman of the year candidate?
Yeah, he came out hot. Very first game, 26 points. So he did a very good job of, you know, showing what he was capable of early on there in non-conference play. And, you know, the thing that impresses me the most about Asa, you know, he's playing the five for Georgia, and he just does a very good job of finishing through contact. He's a guy that, In the Oklahoma game specifically, it seemed like there were several big instances, several big possessions in that second half where he's trying to get to the rim, gets fouled, hits the shot, and then executes on the and one opportunity. And that was huge in a game that Georgia wound up winning by 10. I think he's a guy that has understood that, Georgia's probably only going to go as far as Asa Newell goes. And, that's tough for a freshman, for a guy that, is, one of the highest rated signees in Georgia history to come into a program that, hasn't been to the tournament in 10 years, who wants, Asa talked about in the summer how he wants to put Georgia on the map to make Georgia a contender. And I think he's done a very good job of handling those expectations because those are a lot. And again, playing for a team that doesn't have a recent history of being relevant and winning these big games, but done a great job finishing through contact, outstanding on the offensive boards. He leads the SEC in offensive rebounds per game. And he's got what I'll be interested to see in this game against Arkansas. He started to feel more and more comfortable shooting from three. It's not something you would expect with a guy of his size, but he's done a very good job in recent games of getting back there and hitting those 3-point shots. And Georgia needs it because that is one of the biggest weak points of this team. Just not very good shooting from 3-point range as a whole. So, yeah, I think Ace has lived up to the expectations. And I think as it stands right now, he's got a really good chance to be a one-and-done player and to wind up being a lottery pick.
Yeah. As far as the cast around him, I mean, Silas Demery and Blue Kane stand out. Just what have they done well this season as those key returners? And then is there anybody else, you feel like that has really been a difference maker for Georgia besides those guys?
Yeah, with those two guards, that was huge. And probably Silas more so than Blue in getting them to stay. Because, last year, the end of SEC play doesn't go as Georgia wants, but they do a really good job of getting a spot in the NIT and then make a run to the semifinals. And it kind of felt like Georgia had some momentum knowing that they were going to add Asa in the offseason, but they convinced Silas to stay. Blue stays as well. Silas has done a very good job. His shooting numbers aren't great. And usually in these games, you kind of get a sense early on if he's going to have a good shooting game or not. But he's been outstanding on defense. Mike White has repeatedly pointed to Silas as sort of the guy that sets the tone defensively. And then Blue, I'm really fascinated to see if he can bounce back or kind of continue what was a really good second half performance against Auburn. Blue hasn't taken the step forward as a shooter that I think a lot of us expected, particularly from 3-point range. But in that Auburn game, Georgia was trailing and they start making a comeback in the second half. And a big part of that was Blue Kane. He had 8 points in probably about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And two of those, he hit 2 3-pointers in that stretch that kind of got Georgia going. But some of the other guys, Dakota Lafeu, the guy they got from Mount St. Mary's, he's a guy they saw up close and personal in a game in non-conference play last season. They go get him. He has been, I think, their most consistent shooter, but he struggled with turnovers a little bit, has to step up there as well as on defense. And then a guy that I imagine Arkansas fans have heard before, Tyron Lawrence, a guard they got from Vanderbilt. I think he's been huge. He's done a very good job of getting downhill, getting to the basket, making some pretty wild layups. But you kind of see the veteran savvy in Tyron. You see a guy that played at Vanderbilt for quite a while, knows what it takes to play in the SEC and not only play in the SEC, but ride the highs and lows of an SEC season. I think he's been a huge addition for Georgia, and I think he's going to continue to be a huge contributor, especially on offense.
Yeah, it's amazing what that level of experience, especially SEC experience, can do. And I think that's something that Arkansas really lacks. And I think that some of the teams that they had, even under Eric Musselman, the best ones seem to have a guy that knew how to win, especially when you get to postseason time. That's just, it's amazing how important that is. And I think Arkansas is missing that right now. And we might see kind of a low scoring affair if both of these teams are struggling to shoot threes as much as they have, especially in SEC play. But as far as Georgia, strength and weakness wise, when they're at their best, what are they doing well? And then, flip side, at their worst, what are they struggling with?
I think when things are going well, it's kind of setting up, Christina, like you said. I mean, low-scoring games. Their defense has been outstanding in some of their better games. And I point to the Kentucky game, the first half against Ole Miss. that they really lock down defensively. They block a lot of shots. A guy that I should have mentioned among those players, Santo Cyril, was going to go to Kentucky to play for John Calipari. And then John leaves for Arkansas, and Santo opens it back up. And Santo's been really, really good on defense, second in the SEC in blocks per game, only behind Jani Broome. He's just done a very good job alongside Asa, really locking down around the rim. So I'd say, starting on defense, limiting shots, making teams take bad shots and taking advantage of it. And then on the other side, I think this Georgia team is really at its most dangerous when it's getting downhill, when Silas Demery Jr. is getting to the basket, Tyron Lawrence, letting Asa Newell score down low. Asa's been a guy this year where I think one of the best traits you can say about him is he scores very quietly. He's making plays and he's holding his own defensively. And it's like you look up right around halftime and you're like, well, Asa Newell's got 13 points and 6 rebounds. And he just does it so seamlessly, so flawlessly. So that would be the biggest thing, too. And then just limiting turnovers when things are going well, because that's been a struggle at times for Georgia. They've had 233 turnovers this year, second in the SEC to LSU. When things have gone bad, it seems like they just can't take care of the basketball teams, take advantage of it. Very fascinated with this matchup being on the road because the two SEC games Georgia has lost on the road kind of played out the exact same way, where they were close with Ole Miss in the first half. Second half, it really starts to unravel for Georgia, and Ole Miss takes a game over. And I mean, it felt like the exact same blueprint against Tennessee. It was like a 26-25 game at halftime, and then Tennessee scores 26 of the first 30 points in the second half. And there were a lot of turnovers in both of the starts of those second halves, sloppy play, bad shot selection. So I see this game as a huge test for Georgia. Given, how tough things have been for Arkansas, it's an opportunity, but this Georgia team has not won in Fayetteville in 13 years, and I know it's not going to come easy on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it sounds like just hearing you talk about some of the stuff that's gone wrong for Georgia when it has, it seems like some similar issues to what Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has blown leads or had games close and then, given it away, and the shooting issues. Arkansas also has some turnover problems. I think a key difference is probably going to be the glass. I mean, Arkansas has had a lot of rebounding problems. I think they're 14th in rebounding margin right now, and I think Georgia, I can't remember where they stand in the SEC, but I know they're pretty high, I think. So I'll just be curious with this matchup, if they have some similar issues, then where the how the strengths actually play off of each other, and kind of who wins that battle if they're struggling in some of the same ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of simple, but when I look at this team and trying to kind of check the box scores at the end of games and trying to decide what kind of swung it, a lot of the time in these wins, I mean, Georgia has won the rebounding battle. I mean, I think about the Kentucky game at home where Georgia out rebounds Kentucky, and that's just not something you see a ton. So no, I think that that rebounding battle, and especially when things are really going well for Georgia, even if they're not shooting well, they are getting offensive boards. They're getting second chance points. So I would encourage folks to keep an eye on that tonight, because if Georgia's doing that, especially on the road, I do think that bodes well for the Bulldogs.
Well, Jordan, thanks so much for getting on here and talking a little bit of basketball. You're not in Fayetteville, right? You're at home.
Nope, I'm at home, and there's snow on the ground. It's like 30 degrees. We don't get a ton of snow in Athens, so we're enjoying it while it's around.
Yeah, no, we've just gotten the cold part. We haven't. I wish we could gotten. If it's going to be as cold as it is, I'd rather have a little snow on the ground. At least it's pretty. At least I can have an excuse maybe to not go out. But we just have the cold. There's nothing. We don't have any excuse now. But thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And it's great to catch up with you. And yeah, maybe I'll see you at SEC meetings over in Destin later. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little bit warmer then. But no,
For sure.
looking forward to following this one, and happy to pop on and preview it with y'all.
Thanks so much, Jordan.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design.
We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kindle King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We're joined by Ethan Westerman in studio to talk a little bit of men's basketball from the Arkansas perspective now that Boogie Fland is going to be out for the season with the hand injury. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Ethan, the Boogie Fland news is huge. It changes so much for this team. It is a huge loss. And, you know, I think I've seen some comments of people talking about maybe this jumpstarts something with DJ Wagner and with John L. Davis, guys that have needed to show some consistency. Maybe, you know, someone has to step up and maybe this is what gets them going. I mean, do you think there's any silver lining to this? I mean, you obviously want Boogie Fland. There's no world in which you're glad that this happens. But do you think that there's anything that they could do with this to move on and to get something going, especially from Donald Davis?
Yeah, if they don't step up, then it's going to be a really long rest of the season for Arkansas. That's just the truth of the matter with it, because Boogie Fland is elite. There's a reason his draft upside was so high. He was your floor general. He was your guy who could orchestrate the offense, who could hit tough shots. I know he didn't the last game, but it's because he was playing through the hand injury. He's a guy that's, you know, with the way the season had been going, he was one of the few just really, I feel like, more consistent pieces as far as you kind of knew what you were getting with him. And that's the problem, I think, with some of these others right now, is you have no clue what you're going to get from them. So they're going to have to step up if they want Arkansas to have any sort of shot to go on. I don't even know if it's worth saying like on a run now, but like just to like have a respectable finish to the year. Maybe they can go on a run. Maybe this is some crazy thing that just helps figure out, you know, players kind of maybe stepping into a different role and running with it, and there's no more guessing of what their role is. I have no clue. But yeah, there is no world where losing Boogie Fland is like a good thing for the team. It really stinks for them, but it is one of those things that, you know, injuries happen in sports. It happens almost every year, you know, to teams. And this is a situation where I think that maybe the whole we're only going to play nine players, that's all I need on my team, is starting to backfire a little bit from John Calipari. I mean, that's what we heard all offseason. It's what they stuck with. And the injury problems that they've had have just mounted and mounted. And this is just kind of like it feels like the cherry on top of it all, of like, well, of course, now you're going to lose, you know, Boogie Fland, who is one of the most electric freshmen in the country. So, you know, they're going to have players step up. That nine-player rotation just went down to eight. And so you can't be having other injuries, really, unless you really want to get into that part of your roster that wasn't part of your nine-player plan. You know, it is one of those things, too, where there's a lot of coaches who have this strategy, like they will go like with nine players. It's just they aren't as vocal about it. Like Calipari was so vocal about it, I think, all off season that now it's like everybody's well aware that that's all you have. I mean, I've seen plenty of coaches that they intentionally only have like nine, 10 players that they know are going to play and then kind of just fill out the rest of the roster. But Cal was just, you know, shouting it from the mountaintops to where now everybody's like, you know, that was a terrible strategy because you're 0-5 and you're losing your best player, and who do we have? So it is what it is.
Yeah, it was so stated before the season that when guys would commit, you know, Anthony would be putting in his stories, this guy's going to be one of the nine. This is going to be the one of the nine that Calipari mentioned. I remember that in all of his stories, because it was basically, that was the question, was, okay, who are we going to see the most of? And then who is kind of the additional roster pieces? And so, I mean, I think it feels like this has been foreshadowed since early. You know, you had Adu missing time. You had guys, you know, that were sick, guys that were just kind of banged up from offseason stuff. And you could see the depth concerns. And you're right. It just, this is the cherry on top. This is the probably the worst, you know, you never want to lose anybody, but of all the players to lose Boogie Fland is a problem. And I think, you know, you mentioned they're probably not going to go on some crazy run, even if all went really, really well. But I don't see all going really, really well. Yeah. I think this is too much, and it's inconvenient. It's bad timing for them still trying to scrap for their first SEC win. I think Georgia presents a good opportunity for them to get that. I think, you know, I don't want to count them out of this game, because like we were talking with Jordan Hill earlier in the first segment of the show today, you know, Georgia has plenty of weaknesses. Some of them are similar to what Arkansas has struggled with. And so, you know, this is a good opportunity for them at home to get that first SEC win. But, I mean, it already felt like nothing was guaranteed and you couldn't count on it, especially, you know, with the way the league is, with the way Arkansas has been playing, and now it's even less certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mountain was already hard to see the top of it, and now it just feels even further away. And the thing is, you know, they do still have talented players that, should they play well, play to their potential, they can win some games. It's just a matter of, if you weren't doing it with Boogie, you know, you're gonna have to figure it without him, and you're having to figure it out without your guy who was a fringe triple double sometimes, which that's just incredible for a freshman. And you think he came in at age 17. Like, the fact that he was doing what he was doing was just special. But, you know, now John L. Davis, DJ Wagner, they have to step up. Like, there's no more like, you know, like waiting around to see if they do. And it's also, you know, kind of put those two in a situation where, I don't know if this was ever the case, but especially with John L. Davis, I think DJ Wagner, pretty clear, it's like, oh, he's going to be in the mix all season. But with John L. Davis's play, there reached a point, I think, a lot of the time where the crowd was asking itself, people were thinking it in their heads of like, at what point do you just sit him? Like, he's a liability right now. That, if that's,
you can't, you if, do not have yeah, a choice.
If that was something in the back of his head making him play worse, because I can't stress enough, in basketball, the moment you start overthinking, it's all over. Like, that's the worst thing that can ever happen, is losing your confidence or overthinking. That should be gone for him now, because he's gonna have to play. He's gonna have to play through his mistakes and not worry about, you know, missing a shot if he's gonna get yanked or turning it over. I mean, you still have enough bench pieces where you can get spells to rest, but he's going to have to play, and he's going to have to step up if they want to have any sort of just, you know, even respectful showings, you know, the rest of the way.
Right. And neither of these guys is going to come in and replace the production. They're not going to put up the numbers that Boogie did. There's not going to be a one-to-one, you know, replacement for him. And that's kind of what they said this week, is it's going to be by committees. That's how they're going to have to run the point. And it's going to be those two. And, you know, I think they have the potential. We've been waiting to see it from John L. Davis all season. And I think he can't go all see, you know, he's a talented player. It's in there. It's just bringing it out. And I think you're right about the mental aspect is so present. And I think it's pretty clear, I think, when you watch him, how in his head he is. And that's really unfortunate. And maybe this, like you said, gets him some freedom to, there's not a threat of, if I mess up, I'm not going to get to play, you know, because they don't have a choice. And that's not a good thing for the team that they don't have a choice. But maybe it's something that allows him to free up his mind a little bit to say, okay, you know, not that my mistakes don't matter, but that I don't have the anxiety hanging over me the same way that you did before.
Yeah, and I was watching some John L. Davis FAU highlights the other day, and it's just like, I'm ready to see that version that is just, he just knew when it was time for him to just go make a play, or him to kind of take over. Like, he had that just kind of, I don't know what the word, like, I guess alpha mentality of like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get us a bucket right now. I'm going to kind of take over in spurts. We haven't really seen that yet. This might be the thing that helps, you know, it's not very unfortunate, but this might be the thing that, now that he knows he's going to, like, they need that. They need him to be the John L. Davis that they brought in from the portal that had all the notoriety. He was ranked the top point guard in the portal by at least one publication, or top guard. And so it's one of those deals where if he doesn't figure it out right now, you're just going to have to live with it. You're going to have to let him play through this SEC season and hope that you pick him up as you go. But yeah, DJ Wagner, he's going to be the primary ball handler now. No question about it, I think. So it's going to, like mentioned, was it Chin Coleman who previewed the game? Mm-hmm. Like, he mentioned, it's going to have to be by committee. You can't replace the production of Boogie Fland with one person, because there's only one Boogie Fland. You're going to have to get a few more rebounds here, a few more assists here, a few more points here, just pick up the slack. But, definitely is a situation where I'm ready to see, you know, how the team responds to it. Because, I mean, they've already been facing adversity. Like, you start 0-5 in SEC play, that's enough adversities is. But this news, it just feels like the real, like, you had already gotten pummeled and then you got punched one more time. So we'll see how they respond, if they can pick themselves up.
Yeah, I feel like we've been saying it now for 3 games, but it truly feels like now or never. You know, the last 3 games have been now or never, but truly, you know, we're really getting down to it this yeah. week with the games that they have. Because, like I said, I think Georgia presents a good opportunity for them to get a first win. Oklahoma, you know, is tough, but also a pretty good chance for them to get a win. But it's just, we said it last week too with Missouri and with LSU, it's just they just haven't broken through, and they have to eventually. And we're getting down to a point, and this is something that, you know, I know the players on the court are not worried about this. This is not front of mind. But when we're looking at it from an outside perspective, the timing of this could not be worse. You just get a docuseries announced following John Calipari's first season at Arkansas on this Vice TV, you know, that it's the Omaha Productions, the production company that the Mannings have. You know, they're doing another series on Rick Pitino. They announced that yesterday, and how unfortunate. You know, I was thinking about that poor marketing team having to put this out to some fanfare, and, you know, following this rough season.
I think Kentucky fans will eat it up.
Oh, they will. The viewership, the hate watching will be up.
Hate watching will be up. And my thing is, maybe it's going to be a very raw, real, this was a hard season. This is how John Calipari navigates a hard season. And maybe it's interesting, but I just feel like it's probably going to be pretty, like, I don't know. I feel like you just got to get down during it. But it is a 6-part series. I'm not sure if it's, like, continuing to be filmed.
It surely has to be, because if they were to make a tournament run, you know, before the season, I'm sure they said, okay, and then we'll feature them in the tournament, and then we'll, because
it starts
not happening.
Starts February 11th or 10th, one of those days, and then it's 6 parts. So that would put them, you know, middle of March. So I'm really curious the timeline of, like, when they started doing this, because it's like, it's definitely gone undercover,
right?
Like, when did the cameras first start rolling
that
we weren't
noticed
seeing?
Because with football, you know, Netflix is doing that SEC football season kind of documentary, right? And we had noticed some stuff around Coach Pittman, some stuff at Arkansas's games. You know, Arkansas's not going to feature as prominently in that as some other SEC teams, so it wasn't like every game there were camera crews, but we noticed a little bit. I think it had kind of gotten mentioned, you know, off mic a little bit about, you know, Netflix is here and things like that. So we knew something was happening, but I don't feel like with Calipari that I've noticed it. Or maybe I just assumed that, since there is a media circus around him anyway because of who he is, that I just assumed it was, you know, national reporting, things like that. Maybe I didn't think of it as something like this.
Yeah, no, these cameras might have literally just blended right in. But it is crazy, because I haven't noticed it in the slightest. But I guess that there has been... If they haven't started filming now, I mean, I'd assume we start seeing it.
Yeah, I'm so curious about it, because, you know, media brain goes to, I just think about people that are making this and planning it, and how they're going to put it together and how they are going to show, you know, because you can't pretend like this is a good season, like this is going well. Yeah. You can't act like it's not. You have to acknowledge it. But at the same time, they're working with Arkansas on this. I imagine, I don't know this for sure, I imagine Arkansas has some editorial control over this, you know. So how do you navigate, how do you address the elephant in the room without harping on the bad, because the people you're working with don't want you to? And so, you know, just media brain planning coverage brain makes me go, how are they gonna navigate this? It reminds me of last season when College Game Day came and Arkansas was doing for basketball, and Arkansas was doing poorly, and we did a story, I interviewed the producer basically to be like, hey, why are you at this game? Like, why did you choose this, you know, underperforming Arkansas team for this? And, you know, we did a story on, like, because so many of the, you know, the internet comments were, why are they coming to this? Arkansas looks bad. This is not going to be an interesting game. And so, you know, it reminds me of that, where it's the context of the season kind of spoils an announcement for somebody.
Yeah. And it stinks for Arkansas, because there's been so many times in years past that, like in the Musselman era, there were so many other games that 100% deserve to get all that hoopla. It's like Arkansas keeps on being on the wrong end of poorly timed, like, things that people want to see Arkansas featured in whenever the team's killing it and doing well, and then it's like, great, you caught us at you got ahead of yourselves, and was like, oh, look, Arkansas could be a good place to go, or a good coach, you know, follow the coach, and then oops, 0-5, or oops, we're one of the worst teams in the SEC right now, and we got to play Kentucky like last year for game day. I did like the – it was funny to me. Calipari had a quote in the release. This is what he said. He said, "I think what many will find compelling in this series is the opportunity to get a true behind-the-scenes view of our program. As they tune in, they will get to know our coaches, our players, and experience the passion of Razorback fans as we navigate my first year in Fayetteville. Every season has its own journey, and we've invited viewers to come along for the ride."
It's a ride. That's for sure. I'm about
to say, it's just so funny to me because it's, like, such the, like, right thing to say about, like, getting a behind the scenes look, and I'm like, they get to know the passion of Razorback fans. I'm like, well,
they're passionate about some stuff right now.
Exactly. So I'll be excited. I'll definitely tune in.
Yeah. I'm curious to watch it. I'm like I said, I'm curious how they navigating the season. I'm curious how they navigate covering this season, you know, and it's something we do on this show. We have to figure out how we want to talk about this. How do you talk about a team that's underperforming, and how do you talk about it realistically without just bashing and you know, making for interesting lists? It's tough when a team is losing. But the other thing too is, you know, we're expecting next week for the details on the Bud Walton Arena seating allocation changes based on Razorback Foundation donation tiers. You know, like I said, this is not something that the players on the court are thinking about, but I think you know, people higher up are, about how that announcement's going to come, and it's coming at a bad time because you're telling people you got to pay more for your seats at a time when your product is not looking very good right now,
and in the middle of a season where there have been a fair share of games where the attendance has been not great. Mm-hmm. It just feels like a...
It's been better in SEC play. It's been better with students back. It has gotten a lot better.
And expect, as to be expected, SEC play, I don't think tonight, for not wanting to go
watch, you know, school you've never heard of.
Yeah, I think tonight is going to probably... I would assume tonight won't be great. An 8 p.m. tip on a Wednesday against Georgia doesn't scream to me. Maybe Bud Walton will surprise me, but... yeah, they've picked up, like, the Florida attendance was great. Ole Miss was pretty good. It's just, I don't know. It just feels like a microcosm of this season is just frustration.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the frustrations earlier in the year was Calipari with attendance whenever they played no-name school. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, there's been a lot of people, I think, really just kind of fed up with just a lot of stuff. Winning cures everything.
I don't blame I don't blame them. I don't think that's wrong. You know, Anthony and I talked a little bit about, you know, the Calipari suit jacket conversation. If they were winning, I don't think anybody would care.
Oh, no.
But it's, you know, it's just, it's one thing on top of another. It's when you're not winning, so many more things look worse. And, you know, it's, the seating allocation was going to happen. You know, it's going to happen no matter what. It was going to happen. And so, you know, I don't blame them for having to do it. It's, they got to make money. You know, you get your Hall of Fame coach. It's a good time to do it, except now that they've actually played, it looks like a pretty bad time to do it.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate timing over and over with things. And it's funny because, you know, you can only sit here and just be like, dang, that stinks, that situation for him. I do think that, Arkansas fans do still really care. That's no doubt about that. It's just, it feels like right now, like, there's not, like, a light at the end of the tunnel right now. And so winning is the cure-all. It really is. I remember Matt Zimmerman, he says this all the time. Like, literally, winning is the only medicine for, like, a bad, for bad vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you start winning and everybody all of a sudden picks up in a great mood. And right now, whenever you're staring down an 0-5 hole in SEC play, you're going to have people frustrated and fed up. And it's not the time for announcements that say you might need to fork out a little bit more money than normal. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I don't envy the people in charge of making announcements.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what the light at the end of the tunnel is. February 14th, the baseball starts, and we'll talk a little baseball when we come back after a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design.
We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kindle King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas and for skilled craftsmanship, choose Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can go see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We had a really fun day yesterday getting ready for our baseball preview issue of Hogs Illustrated that'll be out just before they start the season on February 14th. You know, it's been so fun to plan this issue, especially with Matt. Matt gets so fired up about baseball. You know, it's really his bread and butter. And so every year it's fun to start thinking about, all right, what are the stories of this team? What do we need to be focused on? And, you know, yesterday we were over getting some photos and it just really got me into baseball mentality. You know, it's like we said, with basketball going the way that it is, it's we've gotten to that wait till baseball season mode. But what was fun yesterday was baseball got some new uniforms. They changed the whites, the grays, and the pinstripes are going to be different. They've still got the throwback creams, which are my favorite uniforms that they have. They still got the usual Cardinal uniforms that they have, but they got these new ones. They're a little bit of the, you know, late 2000s inspired. You know, they've got the varsity block lettering Arkansas with the banner underneath that says Razorbacks. I like that it's got both Arkansas and Razorbacks. The whites last year had just Razorbacks, I think. And I like that they're going back to kind of an old school look. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the Razorbacks font that you see at football a lot. I don't know how to describe it, but it's that really blocky one, which I do like. I just, with baseball uniforms are so perfect. If you're going to do something old school, baseball is like the sport for it. Mm-hmm. And so I really like that they're going back to something that looks a little bit more classic.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of these uniforms. I love just, it's crazy. There was like an era of uniforms, like early 2010s, where it was like crazy is best. Let's like do the most. Like I remember those Maryland uniforms, Oregon still has.
Well, that's their whole thing.
They still do it, but it's like really toned down. Like, I mean, it was just like insane some of the stuff they were doing. I mean, like gradients were super popular and I am a huge fan of simple, clean, legible, and that's what these are. I'm a big fan because they're just they're just classic. And I do like the little, I don't even know what you call it, the thing that swoops underneath.
I call it like a banner. It's a stripe.
It looks like a baseball bat, kind of, whenever. Kind of, with like, because it comes off the block of the S where it has like the little like knob. I don't know if I'm saying things right, but it looks like a baseball bat to me, kind of. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I also love baseball, how they have all the ribby logos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love them.
Give me, like, if your sport has just a good alternative logo specific to your sport, that's why baseball, I just love their whole branding and stuff. They have the A that nobody else uses.
Well,
they have,
except it looks like if you wear that A anywhere other than SEC country, so everybody goes, Roll Tide.
Yeah, true. Very true. But come baseball season, and I actually remember I went to an Arkansas-Alabama game, baseball game, as a like junior in high school, and it was like on the video board, they always put the two logos side by side, and I was just like, huh, spot the differences. Mm-hmm. But they have their own little branding marketing package with baseball, and I like that they, it's almost like they detach themselves a little bit just as far as like their whole look and stuff.
It's cool. I like that they do that. I think baseball programs do that around the country. I think, you know, especially the SEC, LSU has some different, you know, branding, I think, for baseball. Vanderbilt, the Vandy Boys thing is baseball specific. That's not, you know, football is not Vandy Boys, and they have that, you know, script writing. I like their branding a lot too. But something I didn't even notice about these uniforms until Matt Jones wrote a notebook on our site on wholehogsports.com yesterday about, you know, the new uniforms, some other news we got yesterday and while we were over there. And one thing I didn't even notice until he quoted Dave Van Horn about it was there's no number on the front. So the players' numbers will not be on the front of the jersey. They'll just be on the back, which is something I didn't even realize. And I think last year, the home whites, they had a number on there, if I remember right. And he mentioned, you know, Coach Van Horn said, that's, to me, that's a baseball uniform. You know, like, that's, it's a big league look. You know, that's usually what you see in the majors. And so I thought that was, I hadn't even noticed, and I probably wouldn't have. But as soon as he pointed it out, I was like, oh, that's absolutely right. And I kind of like it. So yeah, I always love an old school look for baseball. It made me think about some of my favorite baseball uniforms that they've had. And, you know, I like a pinstripe too. I'm a big fan of a pinstripe. I like theirs a lot. My favorites of theirs though, like I said, are the cream throwbacks. When they first brought those out, I don't remember what year it was when they first brought them, but they used to be really baggy. The first ones they brought out were, they were throwbacks in that they also fit in that old school way. The pants were like big balloon, you know, and they had to wear the high socks, and then the elbows were like down past the elbow. And I don't know if players liked them. I feel like I remember hearing that they were a little too roomy, I think. And they've gotten them now to where they're still, I think the sleeves are a little long, but they don't look so bulky anymore. And I really like the Sunday creams that they have now. And I like that they're a Sunday thing. Mm-hmm. I think what they've done with that is really nice. Yeah.
And they always have like their games where they have the camo.
Yeah.
Hat. They've had a few other alternate hats.
They've had
before.
Like the yellow hats, and I can't remember what that was for. But they do some fun alternate things. You know, they've got the five jersey possibilities now with the pinstripes and the grays and everything. And so I'm excited for them to actually get out there in these. And it, you know, when we were talking to players about them, they seemed to like them. Seemed to like them better than what they had last
year.
And
I would like these white ones, even just if you like just inverted the colors and had a red with the white.
Mm-hmm.
I just like this look in general. So.
Yeah, it's really nice. There's a photo on wholehogsports.com if you haven't seen them yet. Some players were posting on Instagram yesterday too, since they had picture day. They were sharing the new look. Some other news we got yesterday in Matt Jones's baseball notebook. The base coaches are going to be different. So Bobby Wernis is going to go over to third base, which I mean, you know, that's good for him. I think third base, you know, it's more active than coaching first base. And so Coach Van Horn talked about how, you know, like they've talked about it. Bobby had done it at the minor league level before. He knows what it takes, you know, he knows what he needs to do over there. Nate Thompson's going to be back in the dugout with Coach Van Horn, doing some stuff with, you know, some analytics things, you know, he'll be back there. And then Hudson Polk, who was a senior last year, senior catcher, is a student assistant now, and he's actually going to be at first base. So that'll be a fun change.
It's funny to me because they're going like the route that I cover softball, and this is exactly how softball does theirs, that they've had the student assistant at first, except there's a different number of coaches and like assistants and stuff, but it's they're doing a very similar thing. And I think that it does help whenever you have your hitting coach they're in you know, the dugout to talk some strategy. It's kind of sometimes a little bit more difficult if they're standing over there at third.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. And so it'll be a change when people get in there. I think Bobby will have fun interacting with the crowd over there at third too. He always did it first also, but he's a fun guy to have out there.
I am curious to see if something that happened in softball translates to baseball with this, where you have your student assistant that's obviously friends with everybody. I mean, you just played with them. There's some very electric little like dances once they get to first, like just little like things that they do with that. I'm thinking of Christina Foreman. She played from like little, like honestly, like whenever you go up, people call it a starting lineup and they have their little handshake that everybody has their own. It's like that, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see if that happens.
Yeah, softball's so full of things like that. I would imagine, Hudson Polk will be fired up for some of the guys that get over there.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe they have a little handshake or something.
Maybe. We might see it. Yeah, softball's so full of dances, cheers, songs. Those games are so fun.
Yeah, they Tennessee busts out like dollar bills.
Oh yeah, baseball. I mean, we all remember I think they still have the daddy hat that they put on and the coat. Yes. You know, they still do all that. Tennessee,
the gorilla ball.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. That was Arkansas. Yeah, they've got that. I wonder if they'll bring that back this year, or if that was just a last year thing. We'll see.
Seems to me like maybe. I feel like things like that you keep in one season.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a new program trend. We'll see. Yeah. They're going to surely have something. These teams never don't have anything.
Right. So. And Coach Van Horn had talked about how he feels like this is a fun group. He feels like the newcomers that they've brought in, he was saying, you know, he feels like this is a good group of you know, mature younger players. He feels good about the team chemistry aspect, which, I mean, this point in the year, this is the time that coaches say that. They're like, I like these kids, you know, I like the team. You know, you hear it all the time, but I do think he talked a little bit about how this team feels very confident. He was comparing it a little bit to last year's team, and he doesn't like to compare teams that mm-hmm. much one-to-one to each other, but he was saying just in terms of the vibe that this is a team that very much feels like it is on a mission and very much feels like it has a different level of confidence. I think the perspective is mm-hmm. different for them this year.
Yeah, which, yeah, it's always coach speak, but I think whenever you have a coach like Dave Van Horn that's been doing it for this long and you've covered so many years,
he doesn't just say stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. You reach a point whenever you've won as many games as you've won and stuff where you don't say stuff just to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if he's saying that they're on a mission and stuff, he means it.
He does. And the other news from yesterday was a schedule change. They're going to have Grambling State instead of Arkansas Pine Bluff when they play in North Little Rock. They're still playing UAPB in a game April 15th, and they play Grambling actually twice. They play them February 25th, too, and then they'll have them, I think it's in April, down in North Little Rock. So just a little opponent schedule change. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to have them. They've got that four-game series against Washington State to open the season. We're going to have that baseball preview magazine. You can subscribe to Hogs Illustrated on our website on wholehogsports.com. So if you subscribe today, you'll be there in time to get that baseball preview. You know, the photos turned out awesome. You know, we're working on the stories. The baseball preview issue is one of my favorites that we do. It was the first one I did last year, and it got us off to such a fun start. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. We've got the football recruiting issue coming up. We've got a lot of stuff in the works as far as the magazine's concerned. It's a busy time for sure.
It's always fun whenever we work on stuff in advance, and whenever we know it's almost time for public eyes to see it. And I think that this baseball magazine, I said this somewhere. I might have said it on this podcast. If I didn't, I just said it to Matt. But the same way that I get excited for, you know, Phil Steele magazine before every college football season, like it's a must have. I genuinely think that this baseball preview magazine for Arkansas baseball fans should be like a must have, because it's going to be so in depth and gives you everything you need to know. There's great features. There's position analysis insight. I mean, I just genuinely think if you are a big fan of this program and you don't have this, you're missing out, because it gives a lot of insight to these guys. And yeah, I'm excited to see how it turns out. We had our photographer Hank Layton shoot some great photos, so yeah, it'll see the world soon.
It's funny, even the football preview we did, I was referencing stuff that we had said, you know, quotes from coaches, things that we had in there. I was pulling out my football preview in my office and going through for information when we were covering the season. So it's fun what you can get for these, and we're really proud of it. But baseball season's almost here. Softball season's almost here. I got to plug some gymnastics coverage, too. They're hosting LSU on Friday, and we'll have coverage of that. I'll be out there. I'm expecting some good turnout. I think, you know, defending national champion, it's LSU. It should be really fun. They had a really good showing on Monday afternoon. They got their first 197 score of the season. Their last year they had a record for number of 197 scores of 197 or above, and you know, they got that first one down the other day, mm-hmm. and you know, they had a really, really good showing on floor. So I've been having so much fun. I posted about this on our message board yesterday. I've been having so much fun learning about gymnastics, and you know, it's something that doesn't always get covered, and I enjoy doing it. So we've got all that coverage at wholehogsports.com. It's an in-depth source for breaking news, analysis of all sports, from, you know, men's basketball to gymnastics. So visit us at wholehogsports.com, and we will see you back in studio tomorrow.